I'd like to thank everyone for coming out tonight. And I'd like to thank the elders for this time, for allowing me to get up here and preach God's word. I'd like to thank also Ian here, but he might listen to the tape. As Brother Mike, he helped me on preparing my outline for this lesson as well. And also, I'd like to thank my wife for doing the PowerPoint, which I wasn't going to do until about 3 or 4 hours ago, and she helped me make it up real quick. I got a short lesson. I'm not a preacher, but I kind of just like to teach off my experiences, and sometimes it gets a little personal with personal stories and stuff. And that's where I'll be coming from. That's how I like to teach my kids, and the kids I teach in class here. I try to hopefully they learn off my experiences and learn from me. Sometimes I know my kids, they don't want to listen a lot of times, but a lot of them don't. They look at you like a deer in the headlights, but you try to teach them from your mistakes, and don't always work out for them, but hopefully they'll learn, you know, and try to learn to listen to what I teach. But it's kind of a way I like to, I come up with my lessons like this. When I was thinking of what to preach on, I had a thought of, I was thinking like, where my happy place is, you know, what makes you happy, what brings you joy. And I had to call it, the name of my lesson is What Gives You Joy, because I really couldn't come up with a lot of an outline to really match where my happy place is, you know, what makes you happy. But it's people, they're always looking for joy. But where are they looking? And the majority of people are looking for joy in all the wrong places. The first thing that comes to my mind, a lot of people think it makes them happy is money. Most people think that money can buy their happiness, or think that the earthly things that money buys will bring forth happiness. Don't get me wrong, I like the things that we can buy with money as well as anyone. And there's many, many things out there that I'd like to have if I had the money. But the thing that comes to mind is these things we cannot buy. These things we buy, they can't buy everlasting joy. That's my thought for the lesson, is how we can get joy at a lot of things in this life, but everlasting joy is only one way to that. But if we have joy in this life, we'll have it for a little while, and it'll go away. Something's going to come up and bring you down. In Matthew 6:19-21, but it's actually Matthew 16. It says, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart also will be. Another point that people look for joy is worldly success. And people search for joy in their life. It's worldly success, and it's great to work hard and work your way up the ladder to speak in our jobs. But there's a lot of letdowns on that climb to success, as we all know. And there will be a lot more aggravation and stress on that journey to the success than there will be joy. But there's nothing wrong with working hard and trying to do well. In fact, we're commanded to work, you know, and provide for our families, but just don't get focused on the worldly things, and they're not as important as spiritual things, and you know, these worldly things will pass away. But we must work hard. God commands us to, but don't get lost in that climb to success. Also, something else that you're looking for joy in some of the wrong places. But you can have joy in doing this. People are looking for joy in recreational activities. There's a lot of joy in fun activities we all like boating, fishing, golfing, shopping. Me and my family, we fish a lot. Kids, they like to go out, and ain't nothing like hearing your wife over there on the other side of the creek or the river saying, "Honey, honey, come take the fish off the hook for me." It's fun when you go out and do things with your family like that. I'm not saying it's wrong to do that. It's just I guess my biggest point on that is we can't put worshiping God off, put that before going, put recreational life things before worshiping God. And just remember again, it's not everlasting. We need to search for everlasting things. If we are looking for true everlasting joy, the Bible teaches us. I done got off on this thing. I supposed to read John 2:15-17 with my point. I'll go ahead and read that, even though I'm out of line. But it says, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything is in this world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever." So, if we're looking for true lasting joy, the Bible tells us to find a true joy. And the first place to look for the true joy is in Christ. We can get peace in Christ. True joy can be found in Christ, the peace in Christ, in John 16:33. It says, John 16:33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So we can have peace in Christ. And there's trouble in the world. Christ tells us, his disciples, that there's trouble in the world, but in Christ there's peace. In this world of turmoil, man looks for peace and joy. We're looking in all the wrong places, like I said in the beginning. A lot of times we're looking for peace and joy. We're looking in all the wrong places. Peace is found in Christ, just like we read. And it's found in the Father. In Philippians 4:4-8, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let the gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, and whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is true peace that we can attain. Also, there's joy in knowing that you're right with God and at peace with God. By being a Christian, we can be right with God and have peace. In John 14:21 says, "Whoever has my commandments and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him." In verse 23 it says, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teachings. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." So we can attain true peace by being right with God and having a home with Jesus and the Father. That's how we can obtain spiritual peace. Joy, joy can be found in our relationships in the local church. We can gain joy when we worship. When we worship, we can be reminded of the joy of being a Christian and the relationships that we have with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We should enjoy the time that we spend together. And it always brightens my day to come to worship and see a lot of y'all. And you know, you could have everything might not be going as well as you expect. And some people say something to you and just kind of cheer you up and brighten you up. But it's been my experience anyway. And I think we should spend a lot of time together and try to do it more. We should maybe have a few more get-togethers. It'd be good for all of us, I believe, to spend more time together. I think it's good for us. And also, when we come to worship our brethren, as we come to worship, our brethren can bring us joy by building each other up. In Romans 14:17-19, it says, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by men. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification." Okay, and also in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, it says, "Therefore encourage one another and build each other up." So we should build each other up so we can bring joy into each other's lives. Coming to worship can give you joy by someone encouraging you or building you up. I remember been a little while ago, a few months back, but I know I've had some trouble at work, you know, not being very happy, but a lot of the older guys, they'll pep me up, you know. And I remember I had a really bad day, and Brother Heiss, he may not know it, but I had a pretty bad day, and I felt like it was just like nothing else could even get any worse. But you know, I come on to church, you know, and I wasn't too happy, you know, just thinking about what was happening at work. Brother Heiss, he leaned up. He always sits behind me there, keep me straight. And he said, do I realize, I think his words was, "Do I realize how proud my Father would be of me because, you know, the things I'm doing here at this congregation and everything." And, man, that meant a lot to me. I told him I appreciate that at the time, but it seemed like those things I was thinking about at work, it wasn't that important anymore, you know. It's like he picked me up and built me up from that, just by saying that one little word. There's also others here that built me up along the way. I've been here a long time, and so it's a lot of folks that build me up, and like Brother Daring and Brother Williams all the time encouraging me, and Brother Carroll. It's just, I appreciate every one of you for doing that, and it helps me along and keeps me built up. I appreciate that from every one of you. Also, coming to worship, it helps take their minds off of problems, and it changes our day, helps us to dwell on the spiritual things, which are more important. Like I said, you come and you're thinking about all your problems you have, and it really, I mean, it's just temporary, you know, if we really think about it. We're here. We got to deal with it. We got to learn to deal with it. But we need to be focused on spiritual things that keeps us, so we can stay, you know, the more important picture in life. And that's, I'm preaching myself more than anybody. That's what I have to focus on a lot, because I get sidetracked thinking about, I guess, the old Eeyore, you know, poor me or whatever, you know. But we got to just remember this, the things are just temporary. And we're going to, if we stay right with God, we're going to eventually have that home in heaven I talked about earlier. In 2 Corinthians it says, therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting time, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day, for the light and momentarily troubles are achieving for us as eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporal, but what is unseen is eternal. There again, that backs up what we need to focus on is eternal things, not what we see, but what we can't see, the eternal things. Let's focus our lives on that and please God and do what's right by that. And then all the other things will work their ways out. Our spiritual family, they stand with us. That's something else I thought about. Like I said, they'll build you up, and they're going to hang with you. And I tell my kids this all the time, that you're lucky if you got one or two friends, you know, you went to school with. If they're going to stand right beside you and, you know, back you up and be there for you at any time you need them. Here, I can look around, and there's a bunch of folks I know, if I could just call them, they'll be there for me. That's a spiritual family. They stand behind you, but your worldly friends, you got to worry about them talking about you behind your back or anything else. But everyone here, I've had experience that they built me up and strengthened me. And when you hurt, you know, you lose loved ones, you know, or just hurting in general, they tend to just build me up and make me stronger. And they encourage me to help me just want to continue to keep on doing good and stay on that race. We also have many joyful times when our spiritual family rejoices, like rejoicing, celebrating our wonderful lives that we live, knowing that we are in Christ and knowing that what reward we will receive from our Creator by living as Christians. We rejoice when we have baptisms, and rejoice when prayers are answered, and we have all this as a Christian family we can turn to and look upon. So I want to ask each of us, that do you find joy in being here tonight? Are you happy to be here? Do you enjoy worshiping God? I hope you do. I hope the answer is yes to both of them. Do you enjoy being with your brethren? If not, what's keeping you from having joy from that? If you're not, maybe sin is separating you from God. So to just remember to focus on the spiritual things and to focus on what's pleasing to God and to live a godly life and to live as a Christian. If you're not a Christian, tonight you can become one, and you could get on that road to living for God and have that peace in Christ that I talked about. Just by becoming a Christian tonight, you can have that peace and you can have that joy that's going to last forever once we are in eternity. But not being a Christian won't be easy. You're going to get made fun of, and people, you're not going to be the most popular person. But Like I said, you'll have a family, a spiritual family that you can turn to, and they'll encourage you. Tonight, if you're a Christian and you've fallen away from God, you can make that right tonight as well by coming forward, and we'll sing an encouragement song if you would like to become a Christian or you need to make your life right with God. You come forward as we